God has given us two hands, one for receiving and the other for giving. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell teaches us how to steward the blessings of God.
Noah had to be willing to sacrifice his reputation. Noah was viewed upon as the idiot of his generation. Do you realize that people in our society are not saying, oh, that's wonderful. You believe the Bible. Wonderful. Oh, you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. Wonderful. No, most of society is looking down on that narrow belief. And sometimes people say, you're so narrow. And I always say the same thing, about as narrow as that book right there.
Stewardship is an act of worship, an expression of faith, and a discipline for spiritual growth. In our series, The Gracious Steward, Pastor Chappell shows us how to steward the resources God has entrusted in our care. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Many Christians find it difficult to practice stewardship. But stewardship is more than giving money. It's about being accountable to God for the blessings He has given us. Today, we invite you to learn more about what it means to be a gracious steward. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called From Grace to Faith.
I believe the faith-filled life is the most rewarding life you can ever live. For those of you that checked a little box about tithing and maybe just kind of shaking as you checked it, I want to tell you something. God's going to honor that faith because it's a rewarding life indeed that trusts in God. Look at verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Folks, that's a powerful statement by itself. We cannot even please God without faith. It is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want you to notice that word, rewarder. Let's say that together. The rewarder. It means the one who pays the wages, the one who bestows rewards. God's blessing comes to those who trust in Him, to those who say, Lord, I'm launching out, whether it's a missionary going to the mission field, whether it's some of these young men that are planting churches that we're helping, whether it's us today giving to expand the work of God at Lancaster Baptist Church. God says, I am the rewarder of those that diligently seek me. And you see, the greatest decision in Noah's life was not the decision to build the ark. It was the decision to seek God. It was the decision to follow God and to walk with God. I mean, just think of this logically. If Noah wasn't following God and seeking God, would he have built the ark? That's the craziest thing you've ever heard of. Listen, the man had never seen rain, much less a boat. The man had no idea about how to build a boat. I don't think he would have believed God for even one second if he wasn't a man who'd been walking and knowing God and trusting in God. And God says, if you step out by faith and follow me, I'm going to reward you. Genesis 6:9 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in all his generations. And Noah walked with God. Noah was a man who walked with God, as we'll see this morning, by faith. So faith is defined in Revelation. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But notice secondly this morning, faith developed. Now, how did Noah's faith develop, and how does our faith develop? Because honestly, there's all different levels of faith here this morning. I mean, there's some people here today who had enough faith to come to church and believe that the Bible could say something to them, and that's wonderful. And there's other people who've had enough faith to trust God through times of difficulty in the hospital, and to trust God through various challenges, and to trust God some in giving, some in different ways. Different forms and levels of faith are here today. And we see in the Bible that there are different types of expressions of faith. Abel worshiped God by faith. Enoch walked with God by faith. Noah built for God by faith. And when you read verse number 7, you see that Noah's faith involved his whole person. His mind was warned of God. His heart was moved with fear towards God. And his will caused him to step out and build something for God. So the definition of faith and the development of faith is seen in Noah's life. How did his life develop? Notice, first of all, it developed in response to God's word. When you hear God and when I hear God's word and when I am not just a hearer but a doer, my faith muscle begins to pop up because I'm exercising faith. So verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He didn't just hear it, but he obeyed God's word. Noah believed the warning of God. How many of you understand warnings from God are important? I mean, warnings in general are important. One zoo had a sign, please do not feed your fingers to the animals, very appropriately stated. Warning signs are important. And God warned Noah, I'm going to destroy this earth. And I'm warning you, Noah, and I want you to move with fear. And Noah accepted God's word. Now notice what it says in verse 7. It says, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. In other words, he had never heard of this stuff. He didn't know what God had in mind. I mean, how could you envision something like a worldwide flood? But Noah believed God and he responded to the word of God. And some of you know the backstory to this. The Bible tells us that the world was exceedingly wicked. Every imagination and every thought was only wicked continually in the days of Noah. Genesis 6:13, the end of all flesh has come before me, God said. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God was not happy with the sin on the earth. And he came to Noah and he said, Noah, I'm going to bring an end to the world as it has been known, and I've had grace upon you. Noah, you need to recognize that by faith, I want you to move with fear or awe or respect and build this ark. And by the way, how many of you realize the Bible says, and we'll see this in a moment, that at the end of this age, the world will resemble the age of Noah more than anything else? That there will be increasing and more wickedness. And we see it in the proliferation through the internet, through television, through various things. But I'm simply saying we're moving more and more towards the days of Noah as we see the society changing all around us. But Noah, in the midst of a wicked society, believed God's prophecy about this ark. And I want you to know that obedience is deeply more than begrudging duty. It is a response of joyful willingness captured by God's glory, goodness, and grace. When someone is obedient to the Lord from their heart, it's a beautiful thing. And that's what we see in the life of Noah. He had never seen an ark. He had never seen rain. He had never seen a worldwide flood. He'd never seen animals marching in two. He just heard God and believed God. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the simplest definition of what faith is really all about. So then he starts following God's instructions, and he takes this gopher wood and he covers the inside with pitch, and he takes this structure, probably 450 feet long, maybe a football field and a half long, and 45 feet high and 75 feet wide, and it takes them 120 years to build this. They had no power saws, they had no cranes. It's just Noah obeying God for 120 years. What are you doing, Noah? As they made fun of him, I'm obeying God. Well, why are you doing that? God said it, I believe it. Well, how foolish can you be? By the way, that's what your friends think about you when you go to church and when you live for God and when you don't party and when you don't go to the bar and when you give to the work of God. They think you're absolutely nuts, just like they thought Noah was absolutely nuts. But he was doing all of this in response to God's word. I mean, some of you need to get right down to the basics. Do you believe the Bible is actually the word of God? Because if you do, it changes everything. Now, many people don't want to believe that because they want to be their own God. It's called the idolatry of self. But along the way, my friend, you come to realize this is a lot bigger than me, and you cannot say that there is no God. You've never been to Mars and turned over every rock. You've never been to every planet to discover that there is no God. Noah, just by faith, said, I believe there is a God, and I intend to obey my God. So it was in response to God's word. And then secondly, Noah had reverence to God's power. I mean, Noah wasn't the giver and taker of life. Noah wasn't the creator. He reverenced the God of heaven. Notice what it says. Noah, being warned of God, verse 7, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Would you say that with me? Moved with fear. Moved with fear. You say, oh, see, that's what Christianity is. Everybody's just afraid of God. That's why they go to church. They're all full of fear. No, no. The word fear is not implying, oh, God's going to kill me if I don't go to church. It means respect or awe. It means that Noah had an awe of God. And by the way, folks, don't ever get over the wonder of it all. The wonderful God that we serve, His power, His majesty, Proverbs 9 and 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we see faith is defined as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And faith is simply developed as we obey the Bible and obey the Bible and obey the Bible. Our faith is stronger and stronger. Notice finally this morning, faith displayed. Now we get to see Noah's faith in action. And it tells us how he did this. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So he displayed his faith by building a structure. It was a structure called an ark. He prepared it, which means he equipped it. He did all that God had commanded him to do. And this ark was a testimony to his faith. And folks, when people drive out here to the east side, Lancaster Boulevard and 40th Street East, they see a campus rising up out of the desert floor. It is a testimony not to us, because we know who we are. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. It is a testimony to a wonderful God and a faithful God, and to a faithful people who have trusted God for 30 years. And when people see this, sometimes they might laugh and say, what are those Baptists doing? What are they building now? What is that out there? Some kind of a Baptist city? I've heard all kinds of things and worse. Let me tell you what it is. It's a bunch of people who believe the Bible is the Word of God and who just keep trusting the Lord. Faith is just continually trusting the Lord. And with every one of the buildings on this campus, as a pastor, I had to move with holy awe of God and just trust the Lord that God was going to bring this to pass, because we're trying to educate another generation for the cause of Jesus Christ. And when you're building a structure, it's going to require sacrifice. Noah had to be willing to sacrifice his reputation. Noah was viewed upon as the idiot of his generation. Do you realize that people in our society are not saying, oh, that's wonderful. You believe the Bible. Wonderful. Oh, you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. Wonderful. No, most of society is looking down on that narrow belief. And sometimes people say, you're so narrow. And I always say the same thing, about as narrow as that book right there. People weren't clapping for Noah either. They thought he was weird. No, never seen rain in the world ever. And the guy's building a boat. Honestly. They thought he was, you know, a few fries short of a Happy Meal. And yet Noah was willing to risk what people thought in order to do what God wanted him to do. He was willing to sacrifice. And sometimes it comes to our lives as a kind of a Macedonian church, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And it seems like God will often come to those that don't have as much. And yet, as we do what God calls us to do by faith, He gets in the middle of it and He blesses it. Sort of like in John chapter 6 when the disciples said, Lord, everybody's hungry. We got to feed these 5,000 people. And they said, the only one here is this little kid and he's got some loaves and fishes. And just by faith, He said, here, Jesus, you can have what I have. And God took those loaves and fishes and He fed 5,000 people. They had 12 basketfuls left over because of a young man that was willing just to say, here, Lord, I'm willing to sacrifice so that you can build your kingdom. Years ago, Pastor George Truett was pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas before Dr. Criswell and the current pastor, Brother Jeffers. Dr. Truett was invited to one of his members' house after church. This member was a rancher, had a large ranch. Dr. Truett went out to the ranch and the meal was almost ready, and it was just, I would tell you what was on the table, but some of you would start salivating right now, so I can't tell you all about the mashed potatoes and the roast beef and everything. And the homemade bread and the butter. Come on, how many of you are right there with me? I found your spiritual level. Some of you, I found your spiritual level right there at the roast beef. And he saw the food, and they said, it'll be about 5 minutes, Pastor, before the food. Let's go upstairs. And they went up to kind of a veranda up on the upside of the house, on the top part of the house. The farmer said, Pastor, he said, I want you to see our ranch. He said, if you look over here to the north, he said, as you look out here and see all of the dairy land and all of the cows and cattle, he said, as far as you can see, I own that direction. And he said, Pastor, if you look out here to the south, he said, you notice here all the oil rigs and the trucks, and as far as you can see in that direction, the oil fields, I own everything in that direction. And he said, over here, if you look to the west, he said, Pastor, if you'll notice all of the wooded land and all of the trees and the firewood and all of the land in that direction, I own everything out in that direction. And he said, Pastor, if you look out this way, just all of this land, the wheat fields and the agriculture, he said, everything in that direction. He said, Pastor, I own everything in that direction. And the pastor looked at the man and he said, that's wonderful. But he said, let me ask you, my friend, how much do you own in that direction? See, that's what we're talking about today. Lay not up for yourselves treasure on this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Noah had to make this decision. I may look dumb here on this earth, but I'm going to do what really matters for heaven. I'm going to lay up treasure. I'm going to give my life so that God's will be done. It required of him sacrifice. It required of him his labor. In fact, for 120 years he labored. And so he displayed his faith in building a structure. And what these structures say to our community is that we are a people who still believe God. We're not here maintaining stuff. We're here building for the glory of God. And I know how this goes. The devil hates churches that build. If all we were building was an outhouse, the devil would hate that. He doesn't want any church to build anything, but we're going to keep going for the Lord Jesus Christ, occupying until Jesus Christ comes again. Amen. But you see, the thing of it was, there was something more at stake than the structure. Because some people, that's all they see. Oh, they're just building buildings again. That's all they see. And we've said this for years. Buildings don't change lives. But what happens in them does change lives. How about the ark? How many of you would agree with me, there's more to it than just the ark? Something special happened in that ark, and we call it salvation. Notice what it says in verse 7, that he moved with fear, prepared an ark. Why, Noah? To the saving of his house. The word saving is the word deliverance. And we think of Noah's flood as a time of judgment, but it was also a time of mercy because it was there that Noah's family was saved by the grace of God. The ark then is a place of salvation. And we see that as the flood rose up, those that came in through the one door found salvation through that ark. And it's important for us to remember that in the last days before Jesus comes, that this world will be like the days of Noah, Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. People were just having one big party and making fun of Noah over there, and the ark was almost done, and now the one door was open down, the animals are coming. If you're like, oh, look at that, look at those animals over there. I think they're going up in twos. Isn't that someone? Pass me another drink, you know, just having a good old time. And suddenly, crack, the thunder came. What's that? Is that a sonic boom? Was that a B2? What was that? What's that stuff falling on my head? What is that? And now the rain's coming down. Now, people are looking over that ark, and maybe they hear the rumbling of a chain or some device, and it sounds like maybe that door's about to go up. And God says it's going to be like that at the time of the second coming. Those that rejected Christ during the church age, those that rejected Christ during the time of the tribulation, they just kept on partying. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, they're giving to sorceries, which is the Greek word pharmakia, or drugs. They're just having one big party, and suddenly the coming of the Lord is at hand. And those that were not saved, it's too late for them. And we must recognize that the ark is a picture of Jesus Christ himself. And we must recognize it's a place of salvation. And we must recognize that there is one door going into that place. And the Bible says neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. In other words, if they weren't on that ark, they were doomed. In other words, if you don't have Christ as your Savior, you are doomed, spiritually speaking. Amen. It was a place of salvation. So we say this, the ark is a type of Jesus Christ. It's an Old Testament picture of Jesus Christ. It's the place of salvation. And we see in the ark a plan of salvation. Those of you that have studied the ark, you know that there was one door into that ark. All the animals came up through it. Anyone that would be saved would have come through that one door. And the one door is a picture of the fact that there is one way to salvation. Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any enter in, he shall be saved. And I know what you learned, a class of religious comparisons, that there are many doors, you know, and all roads lead to the same place. And one lady said to me, it's kind of like going to a mall. There's lots of roads that go there. It doesn't matter what road. Just leave it to a lady to liken a mall to heaven, right? It's not kind of like going to the mall. You can get to the mall down 30th East, 40th East, KP, whatever way you want to. You can get to the mall lots of ways. You're going to get to heaven one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. And some of you have been deluded with this worldly thought that all religions are about the same. And you can believe Buddha or Allah or Jesus, they're all the same. My friend, they are not all the same. Only one has an empty tomb. Only one shed the blood that covers sin. And that one, Jesus said, I am the door. Even as the ark was a picture of Jesus, even as the door is a picture of salvation, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the purpose of this ministry. And if you've never come through the door, Jesus Christ, I would urge you today, lay aside all this other religious gobbledygook and trust in the one who conquered death and the grave for your sin. Like Noah, all of us are here today waiting on the Lord. By the way, the Bible says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Jesus Christ. How many of you are wondering and waiting and excited about the fact when Jesus Christ will come again? Amen? That's our hope. Like Noah, he was just hammering away, waiting. Some days he might have thought, boy, God, you're taking a long time. When's this going to happen? How many of you ever think, Lord, when are you coming back? This world's getting worse and worse, right? So what do we do in the meantime? What do we do? The Bible says to us, occupy till I come. Occupy means settle down and build. God has called us to do his work until he comes again. So we came here by faith. We had no salary. We had 12 people. Didn't have Sunday school teachers. I told you a little while ago, couldn't find the phone. We didn't have, you know, any deacons. I found out we had a parking lot when I mowed it. I found asphalt under there. You know what we had? Faith. I remember going to the printer and telling him, I don't have any money, sir, but if you'll make a little gospel track, if you make 5,000 of them, I'll come back and pay you in a month. He scratched his head. He said, well, okay. He made 5,000 tracks. That's how the soul winning started here. 30 days later, I paid him. Faith. And I remember sitting down with Terry in our little apartment on Spearman Avenue, luxurious living. It was so large we couldn't set up our own bed in our own room. It had something called a swamp cooler. And the people that lived there before had several large dogs that lived in the house. And boy, when it got hot and you got that swamp cooler going in the summertime, it just smelled special. And we sat down in that little apartment and I wrote out our first bulletin. Terry typed it. We ran somewhere and ran some copies. Here's a little part of what I said. This week, my family and I begin what I believe will be a long and fruitful ministry here in the Antelope Valley. I wrote that completely by faith in the Bible, completely by faith in God. And I stand here today with more faith than I had then, believing that my God is able to do anything but fail. And I want to tell you this morning, that if Noah could trust him for 120 years, you can trust him. And I want to challenge you to let God's grace bring you to a place of faith and trust in the Lord.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.